T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Grant will have a chance to return it from 2 yards deep. Breaks to his right, got a crease, cuts back into 30, the 35, the 40, the 45, the 50. He's at the 40, he's at the 30. Jakeem Grant will go 100. All right.
Wow.
All right. No flags is
right.
First and 10 from the Dolphins' 25-yard line. Drake remains the running back. Couple of receivers flanked to the right. Tannehill under center. Play action fake. Back to throw. Deep downfield. He wants it all. Goes to it. What a catch by Fields. He breaks a tackle. Woo. Touchdown, Miami.
There all you
right.
go.
75
there
yards.
There you go.
Wow.
The Alex Dono Show here on a Dolphins Monday. A victory Monday on WQAM. Streaming all over the internet, radio.com on the computer or the radio.com app on your smartphone. However you listen tonight, we appreciate your patronage. How about that? I'm looking at Alex Solana on the other side of the glass for... you may have been keeping track of how long you've been working on Big O Show. Do you have any idea like how many months, how long you have been off evenings and on in middays?
Yeah, I'm coming on just about a year in November.
Wow.
So about 10 months now.
So 10 months since I've worked directly with Alex Solana. So I know that at some point later in the show, we're just going to trigger Tito Banach with Solana's food takes. So you guys seem like kindred spirits in a lot of ways, including the fact that Alex Solana and Tito Banach both have very kind of wacky, opinionated food takes. But none of them seem to align with one another, right? Like, they are at odds on every possible opinion on every possible food.
Well, so. I mean, this Tito Banach, Dono. I mean, what is up with this guy? Like, everything that is wrong with the world is because of a guy like Tito Banach.
You just, like, just the fact that he hates blue cheese, to me, it's a tough one to get past. But we will circle back to that after we get to more important things. How many of you were at the longest game in NFL history yesterday? And how many of you actually stayed until the end of the longest game in NFL history? 7 hours, 8 minutes, 4 hours in lightning delays, two separate lightning delays. It's like, I was there for the entire game because it was my job to be there. I don't really blame anyone who left early just because I understand that we all have lives. And I understand that even more having, you know, a child at home, you know, lately. So I get it that maybe you didn't plan on being at a football game, you know, till 9 o'clock last night. You may have had somewhere else to be on a school night for your children. So I can't blame you if you left early, but I do want to salute those who stayed for the duration. I do. And I know it meant a lot to the players, right? Every player that we spoke to in the locker room after the game went out of their way to thank those fans who stayed the entire way, the entire 7 hours, 8 minutes of that football game. I know it meant a lot, right? I don't know how many people were left. Has there been an official or unofficial count on that? 10,000, 8,000, 12,000 people? I mean, obviously it was a fraction of the people who were actually there for the 1:05 p.m. kickoff. But to those of you who stayed until the end, I can tell you firsthand the players appreciated that. And, you know, the Dolphins, correctly so, went out of their way to point out on the video boards last night that you were a part of NFL history. You were a part of the longest game since the 1970 league merger. Is that, and be honest here, like, is that a story that you're going to be telling family and friends for years if you did stay until the end of that game? I would imagine so, right? I mean, I'm sure that, you know, for me, covering the longest game in NFL history, that's going to come up in some conversations over the coming years for me. I was a part of, I was covering the final Miami Hurricanes game at the Orange Bowl. You know, that 47-0 blowout loss, embarrassment to Virginia, but that was still a historic night for those who were in attendance there. Right? I think when things like that come up, I still have my ticket, by the way, a game I did not actually attend, but I do actually somewhere in a filing cabinet at home, Solana, I have a ticket to the Florida Marlins opening game back in 1993. They gave out some tickets to my elementary school. I couldn't actually attend the game that evening, but I still have a ticket for that. I think that also puts me as a part of sports history.
Does that make us sports geeks, Dono, keeping tickets from, I guess, games that had sentimental value for us? Does that make you geeky?
It does, especially since I'm not overly sentimental as a sports fan. There's probably a lot of stuff I've thrown away that I shouldn't have. I'll give you an example. I know quite a few people who work like in this business, you know, sports media, who save all of their press credentials and like make like a press credential collage. I don't know how many games and like UFC fights and events I've covered throughout my life. It's got to be over 100, 150 at this point. I never save credentials. I may have a couple of credentials like under the passenger seat of my car that I don't realize are there, but I don't go out of my way to save press credentials. It's got to be really something significant for me. It's got to be like a signed piece of memorabilia. It's got to be something like the ticket to a franchise's first ever game for me to actually go out of my way to save it. But I don't know. I think if you were actually in your seat for the entire 7 hours, 8 minutes of Dolphins Titans last night, I think that is a story worth telling. And I was impressed with what I saw on that field. I mean, don't try to cheapen that victory by pointing out the wacky occurrences during the game. Okay, so Marcus Mariota left the game injured a couple of times. Blaine Gabbert finished that game. I don't think that cheapens how overall well Miami's defense performed, and it certainly doesn't take away from how well Miami's offense performed. I'm loving the speed at wide receiver. I am. You know, for those who are still wondering, and the jury is still out as to whether giving up Jarvis Landry was a good idea or a bad idea, I think we're really yet to discover how good he's going to be for Cleveland this year and how much he's going to be missed as a Miami Dolphin. But one thing I will say about, you know, losing Jarvis Landry but adding a guy like Albert Wilson is that receiving core has gotten faster. And with an increased role for Jakeem Grant, that makes them faster. Obviously, we saw and heard on one of the highlights coming into the show what Jakeem Grant can do as a kick returner. That was pretty damn electric last night. And I love the way that they were using Albert Wilson in some misdirection. And I got to tell you, I think the Dolphins 1-2 punch at running back, assuming they can both stay, you know, healthy, is going to be something truly special in this league. Frank Gore, 6.8 yards per carry yesterday, 9 carries for 61 yards. When you watch Frank Gore, the way that he is just such an instinctive, fluid runner, you would never think that's a 35-year-old toting the rock. He's just become so wise. And it's not to say he wasn't a smart, instinctive player, even going back to his days at the University of Miami, where he was near and dear to a lot of our hearts then. But I thought he's done a great job adapting his game over the years for longevity and durability, right? Like Frank Gore has found the magic touch, because very rarely does a running back last in the NFL till 35, let alone stay productive until the age of 35. Gore has adapted his game over the years to receive minimal contact, and he's so instinctive that he doesn't necessarily have to be the fastest guy on the field to make plays. I mean, he had that, what was it, a first and 20 where he went 21 yards. I mean, that was something truly special to watch from Frank Gore. And from Kenyon Drake, you got a lot of what you expected. You know, for Ryan Tannehill, he wasn't perfect, but he was pretty, pretty, pretty good. And that deep pass, the 75-yarder that he threw to Kenny Stills, was perfect, right on the button. I mean, it seems like a long time ago. And even like in 2016, the last time that Tannehill played most of a full season, made it through, 13 games that year, he was already kind of rubbing the evidence in the critics' faces who say, well, this guy can't throw a deep ball. Deep ball frustration. Tannehill is garbage when he tries to throw more than 10, 15 yards downfield. Ryan Tannehill still has his limitations, don't get me wrong. But you cannot say Ryan Tannehill can't throw a deep ball, right? I mean, in 2016, before he got hurt, had the second highest deep ball percentage in the entire NFL behind only Derek Carr that year. And the perfect throw that he delivered to Kenny Stills, I don't know if that was that still in the afternoon or was that last night when he made that. The game lasted so long through three different time slots, I'm not even sure anymore. But that pass to Kenny Stills was so dead on. You cannot say that man cannot throw a deep ball.
First and 10 from the Dolphins' 25-yard line. Drake remains the running back. A couple of receivers flanked to the right. Tannehill under center. Play action fake. Back to throw. Deep downfield. He wants it all. Goes to it. What a catch by Fields. He breaks a tackle. Ooh,
nice.
Touchdown, Miami.
There you go.
75
there
yards.
You go.
Wow.
And on defense, Rashad Jones. One of the best games he's played as a Miami Dolphin. I mean, statistics-wise, you can certainly make that argument. That was the first multi-interception game of Rashad Jones's NFL career. Two picks last night for number 20. Minkah Fitzpatrick played well in the slot. Thought Bobby McCain played a nice game. Kiko Alonso had an INT in the game. Yeah, I thought the Dolphins did a nice job in a game that, and don't lie to me, all of you people who were texting me last week when I predicted a Dolphins victory. No chance. This team sucks. Tennessee is going to come in and kick our asses. Don't lie to me. You know a lot of you didn't think they would pull that off yesterday. He cannot throw deep, Texter writes. One freaking pass you're talking about. Okay. What about the 13 games where he was successful throwing deep back in 2016? Right? You can bring up Ryan Tannehill's inaccuracy at times, his inconsistency to throw accurately. You can bring up Ryan Tannehill's pocket presence, but don't tell me Ryan Tannehill can't throw a deep ball. Donna, why is it that we never learn our lesson? How many times after a Dolphins win, we get all excited only to find out it's the same old Dolphins? Well, how about this? I still don't think this is a playoff team, right? You can't tell me I'm overreacting when I'm just telling you what I enjoyed about last night's game. I'm not telling you they're going to parlay last night's game into a 10-0 start to the season. They're going to win 13 games, win the AFC East. They're going to the Super Bowl 19-0. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that some of you were expecting an unmitigating disaster. It kind of was that off the field, right? Two lightning delays. I was at the game, so I didn't experience this, but what happened late in that game? It got cut off of TV at 8 o'clock? Yeah, I heard that they were down to one camera angle. I don't know how that happens. Thank God I was at the game at that point and I got to watch it in person. Because if I were watching it on TV, I would have been pretty damn frustrated. What was the issue there, Solana? Do you know?
Yeah, I believe they just cut off the game with a little over 2 minutes. Again, I was at the game, Don. I was driving back home at this time.
So you left early, huh?
Yeah. I had to. The Rosh Hashanah, man. Had to get out there to the synagogue. Yeah, I guess they just cut to a sitcom with about 2 minutes, 2 minutes and some change left over in the game.
Wow, that's ridiculous. I would have been throwing stuff at my TV, especially if you had made that much of a time investment just to see that game through, and then they cut away to a sitcom. If you'd like to get in, we'll take some phone calls on the other side. People want to talk Dolphins. I still got to talk Canes, man. I heard Hockman and Crowder. I'm not going to say ripping, because that would be a strong word, but they were questioning the new turnover chain. I don't know, man. It's like, I can understand Crowder because he's a Gator, so he's throwing little pot shots at Miami wherever he can. But I really thought that Hawk would have the U's back. Take his alumni card away. Can you find his diploma and burn it? Did he even graduate, Hockman? I'm not even sure at this point. He might have left like after three semesters, and we're not even sure if he finished or not. The Alex Dono Show continues next here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
8,000, 10,000. Has anyone put out an official number? But we got a funny text at 56022 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. The amount of fans that were left would have been a packed house for a Miami Marlins game. Yeah, I think the Marlins would have been happy just to have the amount of people who stayed for the entire 7 hours, 8 minutes of NFL football last night would have been a great start time crowd at a Marlins game. That game had a pretty ugly start, too. But after that second lightning delay, you had touchdowns all over the place, including two kick return touchdowns. It was madness, right? So I would venture to say that those who were able to stay for the entire game probably did not regret it. So, by the way, it was the first weekend. I still in progress because it was a doubleheader tonight for Monday Night Football. But first weekend of the Dono Fantasy Football Leagues. And in the Dono's Lunch League, is it the Dono's Lunch League that we're in together, Solana?
Yeah, this is the Dono's Lunch League.
I had a huge lead on you after the Thursday night games. And a texter pointed out, I'm getting a 1-point victory over you. So what? And you told me you have beef with me over that. Like, I'm not going to claim I have any idea what this beef is about, because I didn't even realize our game got so close. Like, I don't know who you had last night that got you within that 1 point. So what is the beef that you have?
So you were beating me by about 30 points.
Yeah.
I thought the game was over. Didn't sure. even check fantasy.
Yeah, I stopped following that score because I was soundly whooping your ass.
I had the Chicago Bears defense. Okay. Now, somehow I had Deion Lewis. He storms back with a big game, 20 points.
Right.
Whatever. Long story right. short, I'm up by like 7 points on you.
Okay.
And you're out of players, so your score is locked at 125.4.
Okay.
I'm up 129 on you, Chicago's defense, and I'm sitting back and I'm like, hey, it's over. That's it. I'm going to get to talk bleep to Dono on my return to the Alex Dono show. And then Aaron Rodgers throws a dart to Randall Cobb. The Bears defense
yes!
can't tackle, and I end up losing to you by 1 point.
That makes me even more excited about that Aaron Rodgers comeback. I mean, that was fantastic what Rodgers did yesterday. And it also cost you a fantasy win against me.
The funny part is, I was rooting for that because ooh. I have Aaron Rodgers in another league.
But you didn't realize it would cost you that victory.
Then I look over to our league, and I lost by literally 1 point.
I mean, have you ever seen a guy not limp off the field, not helped off the field, carted off the field, and return to a game and dominate the way that Rodgers did? I mean, it's funny, Solana, when I start when that happened, like I wasn't watching that game live, but when that happened and Aaron Rodgers was carted off the field, the first that I heard about it was one of my listeners sent me a tweet with the picture of Rodgers being carted off the field, and the tweet said, pray for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you would not expect to get a tweet like that with a guy getting carted off the field with the caption, pray for Aaron Rodgers. And then the next thing I know, he's back in the game lighting up Chicago for another historic moment in Aaron Rodgers' career. And then this is a great tweet from Ian O'Connor. Tom Brady once told an NFL coach, if Aaron Rodgers had Patriots' offensive scheme and institutional knowledge of opposing defenses, quote, he'd throw for 7,000 yards every year. He's so much more talented than me. Like that's like it's an awesome comment, but also a kind of a backhanded compliment, because Brady is basically saying, well, I'm so much smarter than him, and that's part of the reason why he doesn't throw for 7,000 yards per year. Like that's Brady saying, yeah, he's a lot more talented than I am. If he was half as smart as me, he'd probably throw for 7,000. That's basically what Tom Brady said there. That's the most Brady-like compliment I've ever heard in my life. You know, I was watching Max Kellerman today on First Take, and, you know, Kellerman, like, he loves Aaron Rodgers, and not that there's anything wrong with that, but he kept saying how, oh, Aaron Rodgers is the greatest ever, best I've ever seen. When I talk about the Brady versus Rodgers debate, this may not make a lot of sense to you, but I stand by it. Tom Brady, greatest quarterback in the world, maybe ever, but especially right now. If you're talking about the current crop, Tom Brady, greatest quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback, right? Because Tom Brady has the credentials. He's got the intelligence. He's got the field generalship. It's not to say Aaron Rodgers doesn't have those things, but not to Brady's level. But when you're talking about talent, when you're talking about pure God-given abilities, Aaron Rodgers might be the greatest of all time, the best of all time in that regard. So I would say Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the NFL. I feel like the two of those things can be mutually exclusive in a way. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Chris in Miami. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Dono. Just wanted a couple takes on yesterday's Dolphins game.
Sure.
First thing was, yeah, at the end of the national broadcast, which was Carolina-Dallas, Fox turned off their broadcast and went to a sitcom.
Jeez.
And that's,
Was it even a good sitcom? I don't even know what their lineup is like these days.
It's garbage. And then what happened was that's when Titans got the field goal, made it 27-20. And then they realized what was going on, and they threw the Dolphin game. They came back,
jeez,
and they put the Dolphin game back on for like the last minute, and then that was it. So that was, you know, I was pissed, though. I was throwing things. I was like, I've sat here for 7 hours try not to drink too much beer and pass out to watch the end of this game, and they're going to turn it off with a minute left. And I was like, you know. But in the meantime, the Dolphins, you know, people are going to say same old Dolphins, whatever. You know, it's one win against Tennessee. But as a Dolphin fan, you just got to love the fact that Tannehill came back yesterday, had a successful outing. The Dolphins overall looked pretty good, and we won. And be happy and move forward with that and quit looking at negative same old Dolphins in the future. You don't know what the future holds.
Right.
I'm looking at the Dolphins going, we could be 3-0 easily going into New England in week 4. Easily. And the people only picked us to pick, what, 5-6 games?
And I think I think Vegas initially had us at 5.5, and they actually moved the number up to 6.5. Again, like I think that they're going to cover that. I think they win 7 or 8 games. I don't have the Dolphins in the playoffs, but I just love, Chris, how, yeah, I spent much of the first segment saying that, hey, I was impressed with the Dolphins' performance yesterday. And then I've got a bunch of people texting me, oh, the team is still garbage. Why are you drinking the Kool-Aid? I can't give them a compliment based on one game. I'm not saying they're a playoff team. I'm not saying they're a division winner. I'm just saying the Dolphins impressed me yesterday.
I enjoyed watching that game. I enjoyed watching Jakeem Grant run back to kickoff. I enjoyed the long ball to Kenny Stills. I enjoyed watching Frank Gore and Kenyon Drake. It was an enjoyable. I loved watching Rashad Jones yesterday. It was a good game to watch as a Dolphin fan. There was a lot to be happy about when that game was over. There was a few things that concerned me. The run defense was a little concerning.
Yeah.
And the punt and kick coverage was a little concerning. We gave up the kickoff for a touchdown, and we gave up a couple other big returns on kicks. But so by no means was it perfect, but it was fun to watch. It was exciting.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I'm glad you have the same perspective on it as I do. Thanks.
Yeah.
You know, I got to admit, Solana, I don't remember actually doing this, and I can understand why this would annoy this listener. He texts in at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. I swear, hearing people incorrectly use the word literally as often as I do makes me want to go postal. Aren't you supposed to use proper English when you work in radio? Was that you that did that? I don't know. It might have been me. It literally might have been me who did that.
It literally might have been me as well, Don.
I really can't tell you, but if that was me, I am kind of surprised because that's also a pet peeve of mine. Right? You know who does that a lot? UFC president Dana White. Like he'll just throw around the word literally when he's talking about something that is figuratively, not literally. So if that was me, I apologize. If it was Solana, I apologize on your behalf.
I said the word literally when speaking about our fantasy football score, but I literally lost you by a like. No, and I say that not even trying to make a joke. Like,
yeah.
We can tweet out the
score. Right.
The score is 125-124.
So it's not like I beat you by 8 points, and you said he literally beat me by a point. No, I literally beat you by 1 point.
Literally.
I you know what? I'm going to make it. I consider this a challenge. For the next 3.5 hours, I am literally going to use that word out incorrectly as many times as I literally can until the end of the show, just to annoy that one listener. Well, hopefully, if you have a sense of humor, you'll have a smirk on your face as I do that. Let's talk to Rob in Hollywood. What's up, Rob?
Hey, man. I can honestly say that's literally the funniest stuff I've heard all day. Man. It really is.
And literally, this is the greatest start to a phone call I've ever heard.
Man, look, I'm going to be truthful with you, all right? But literally, I think that offensive line from the Dolphins is very underrated right now, man.
Yeah.
They got this one guy who looks like a biker. He always takes his helmet off, number 71, and he greases back his hair. Like, yo, I got one for you. And then he puts it back on. You know, it's like, I love it. But, yeah, man, I just – look, man, like, seriously, like, for people to complain about the offensive arsenal that the Dolphins have, that obviously we know we have one now, it's not surprising to, for people to be like, whoa, we have that, because nobody on this station or anybody else on any other station has really – you know, publicized the offense because we didn't know.
Yeah.
Well, now we know. You know what I mean? Like, everybody needs to relax and be like, hey, yo, we don't know what's going on. Now we know.
Well, you know, and let me ask you, did you miss Devontae Parker yesterday? Because I didn't. I mean, it's not to say that, you know, again, the Dolphins are going to lose plenty of games this year, I believe. So maybe at times you say, oh, I wish Devontae Parker was good and playing. But when it comes to what I saw on the field last night, I even forgot that Devontae Parker was on this team.
Dono, I literally forgot he was on this team, bro. I really did, man. I really did.
I appreciate that.
Have a good one, brother.
That was literally the best call tonight so far. Speed is what the Dolphins now have at the skill positions, right? That certainly includes Kenyon Drake, who is the fastest 40 time at the combine at running back his year. Albert Wilson is a burner. Kenny Stills is a burner. You know, Danny Amendola is not, but he adds a clear, important element at the slot. Jakeem Grant is another burner, which you saw on multiple occasions, man.
A caller brought this up to me, Donna. I'm interested to know what you think.
Yeah.
One of the big narratives, I guess, driving the direction of the Dolphins south by the national media was losing Sue, losing Landry, losing Pouncey, losing some of these bigger names that mm-hmm. were on the team for quite a while. How do you think the Dolphins played? Obviously, small sample size, but
right.
considering the circumstances, how do you think they played without, I guess, those big names?
Yeah, well, there is no question in my mind they are better off with Kilgore and Sitton, who are the two offensive linemen they gained, and losing Mike Pouncey. Like, there is a net gain for sure. Mike Pouncey, up until, what, 2014, was an elite center in the NFL. Always first or second best center in the National Football League. He's not the same player. Was not the same player. Even last year, I know that he was thrilled, and rightfully so, after all the injury struggles, he was thrilled to play all 16 games last season. What an accomplishment. But he wasn't a great center last year. I mean, that was his Super Bowl, was the fact that he played in all 16 games without sitting out for a hip injury, but he was average last year. So I don't think that offensive line is going to miss Pouncey one bit. On the defensive line, I think you'll miss Ndamukong Suh, right? I know that statistically the Dolphins' run defense was bad when he was here, but he always, to me, he passed my personal eye test. Like, individually, he always graded out well. So I think the only thing, there were two things that you could blame Ndamukong Suh for. Number one, oh, he's making too much money for a defensive tackle. Probably true. Not really his fault. Am I right? If you're an NFL player, you and your agent will take as much money as you can possibly get. And then number two was, well, he's not making everyone else better. Like, that was what was promised when he signed here. He's going to make the linebacking core better. He's going to make everyone's job easier. He still commanded so many double teams. I feel like him not making everyone else better is more on everyone else than it was on him. So I still believe you are going to miss Ndamukong Suh. And as far as Jarvis Landry goes, I think you could miss Landry in some really close, competitive, chippy games where you've got a third down and six and you need somebody to move the chains in an emergency. That didn't really come up for you yesterday. Fourth quarter, you're down 4 points. You've got to get a game-winning touchdown or a game-tying field goal. Somebody's got to move the chains. I think those are the big spots where you could miss Jarvis Landry. I like the new dimension of the offense being that at any given time, you can have three wide receivers or four wide receivers on the field who are all, you know, the fastest players on that football field. I like the fact that I think you want to go with more speed packages offensively, but I think you are going to miss Jarvis Landry fighting for tough yards. So I think the two questions that I would have as far as replacing that element, because Landry is a guy – you've seen it before, right? You need 6 yards for a first down. The initial contact is made 3 yards into a catch. He's going to pull three guys beyond the first down marker. Is Mike Gesicki going to do that for us this year? Jury is still out. Danny Amendola, who does it a different way, right? He'll more bob and weave through defensive players to pick up 6 hard yards. I think he could potentially be a guy who can get those difficult yards, but we haven't seen it enough yet in a Dolphins uniform. I think that's what you might miss. Fighting for tough yards and tough first downs is what you might miss from Jarvis Landry. I'll give you my thoughts on the new turnover chain next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Man, I'm glad a texter brought this up because I wanted to get to this, and shame on me for not getting to it yet. Before I get to it, though, let me mention that Adam H. Beasley from the Miami Herald is going to join me at 7 o'clock. So 15 minutes. Bees is going to break down the longest game in NFL history. 7:40, we'll talk with Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. But a texter writes at 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Thoughts on the turnover backpack? Yeah, where do I start? Seriously. I thought Florida State was above that, right? And let me explain, right? I mean this with the utmost respect to the Florida State Seminoles as a historic, significant college football powerhouse. I really thought they were above the turnover backpack. Not only is it ugly and ridiculous, but all of these turnover props that are coming out of the woodwork, like you see this from universities like Tulane and Boise State. Second-rate programs. And I know Boise State has had some decent teams and some good years, but Boise State is not considered to be a historic college football powerhouse. For teams like that to come out and blatantly copy a concept that the University of Miami has created and made viral and made part of Americana, part of college football culture, you would expect second-rate programs to come out and copy that, right? And obviously, I'm not saying that Miami doing it, there's nothing wrong with the turnover chain because they made the turnover prop a thing, right? That's Miami's thing. Tennessee's turnover trash can, embarrassing, right? If anything, okay, so that program has been questionable for a while now. Now, 20 years ago, I would have said Tennessee should be above something like that, right? But Florida State, well, when was the last time they were at the top of the college football mountain? 4 or 5 years ago? You know, always a respectable, if not elite, program. For Florida State to stoop to gimmick infringement, against the University of Miami, who happens to be one of their two biggest rivals, along with Florida. That's really surprising to me. Like, I really thought that Florida State would be above copying the University of Miami. And, I'm sure that in the coming weeks, in the coming couple of years, you'll probably see more college teams bringing out turnover props because they want to have the same fun that the University of Miami is having. You're not going to see it at Alabama. You're not going to see it at Ohio State. Probably not going to see it at Michigan, although Jim Harbaugh's a weirdo, but you're not going to see it. You're not going to see it at Penn State. And I know what you're going to say. Well, Dono, at Penn State, they were covering up a child molestation. At Ohio State, they were allegedly covering up domestic violence. Just separate that from the football tradition for a second, just for argument's sake. When it comes to their football traditions, they do not need to resort to gimmick infringement to get their fans excited. I wouldn't think Florida State would have to resort to that. I was shocked when I started seeing the viral images of the turnover backpack. Some of the memes were great, though. What people were turning it into. I mean, the internet had a field day with the turnover backpack. But I was really surprised by that. But what do you think about the new turnover? Oh, sorry, you had a thought on the turnover backpack?
I was just going to say, like, I'm not that surprised. Don't you remember last year after the Canes, brought up the turnover chain for the first or second time? Wasn't it Willie Taggart's Oregon who brought out the O?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They, as well.
Yeah, yeah, and it's funny you say that because I had kind of thought that Mario Cristobal might be behind that, but it has become a Willie Taggart tradition to copy the University of Miami. And I guess he took that with him from Oregon to Florida State. Dono, there's such a lack of thought, a texter writes, into the FSU backpack. that it must have been just a player's idea. I think you cut that player. You take a scholarship away, whosever idea that was. Who did he clear that with? 560-22 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Text writes in, Ohio State football started using the Seven Nation Army song, and then all of sports, college, and pro followed. You know, I will say, I knew that that the Miami Heat were not the first to use it. Some people try and credit, you know, the Miami Heat with that. Like, I remembered hearing it in arenas and in stadiums before the Heat ever used it. I wasn't sure that it was Ohio State. I'll take your word for it. I didn't know they were the ones who originated it. Oh, the backpack is full of stolen crab legs, somebody writes. I would love that. But as far as the new University of Miami turnover chain goes, I heard both Hawk and Crowder say that they really wish that they had stuck with the original, that they should never change it, never tweak it, never evolve it, just keep that tradition of the original turnover chain, keep that forever. To me, I have no problem with tweaking it or evolving it as long as it still looks good. Because how can I argue with that result, right? How can I argue with the diamond-encrusted Sebastian the Ibis? And I'm not saying I don't love the original. And for the thousands of us who went out and bought turnover chain merch from the original, whether you have a replica original turnover chain or you got a turnover chain t-shirt like I do, I hope you don't feel like you now can't wear that gear. Like, you're still repping the original. But I have no problem with evolving the turnover chain over the years. You know, and I'll admit to you, after last season ended, because that was the perfect storm for the turnover chain last year, you led the nation in turnover margin. No matter how good this defense is, you're not going to do that every year, right? Like, that was the perfect team and the perfect time to have a turnover chain. I thought they should have retired it at the end of the season last year. I did. Like, I honestly thought maybe you just make that a one-year thing, 2017, let that legend live forever. I understand why they wanted to bring it back, because they feel it's very important for recruiting, because recruits want to put on that turnover chain. And for that reason, I understand them bringing it back. But to me, like, if you didn't retire it, you might as well tweak it and evolve it throughout time. As long as you don't make it look ridiculous, right? Like, if you jump the shark and, like, you make next year's turnover chain is Larry Coker's face or something, as long as you don't completely jump the shark, I'm okay with the turnover chain being tweaked over the years, right? I don't think you have to trot out the original every year. In fact, I think the throwback to the old school Sebastian the Ibis looks pretty badass, man. Oh, somebody writes in, the turnover backpack is full of free shoes. What else would you put in the Florida State turnover backpack? Well, based on how poorly they started against Samford, the backpack might have been full of tears yesterday. Because Florida State looks pathetic to start the year. I mean, at least Miami took care of their business against Savannah State. I know Savannah State is one of the worst college programs. In fact, next year they are downgrading from FCS to Division II. So believe me, I'm not bragging about that win. I'm not. Texter writes in, well, this new one is an upgrade to me, an awesome change. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Anthony in Miami. What's up, Anthony?
Hey, Donna, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, man.
Man, my question is, I mean, how did you get 10 coaches and 80-plus players to not one person protested against that backpack?
Yeah. Like,
this is a horrible idea.
Well, like, did they put that to a vote? Like, you've got 80 people in the locker room. Show of hands. Do we go with the turnover backpack? You're telling me there were more than half the hands were raised.
I mean, that's the only thing I could think about when I saw the backpack. Between the way they were playing and how terrible, they couldn't have made themselves look any worse. And then all I could think was, like, how did anybody agree to this? Like, whose decision was it? That's all I could think about when I saw the backpack. I mean, it's.
I literally couldn't believe it. When I started to see the images surface, this cannot be real. This has got to be a Photoshop.
I got the text of it, and I thought somebody was making a meme out of it, but it wasn't real. Then I go on social, you know, I actually watched the game and I saw it was real. And then one more thing, Dono, about the chain, I felt the same way. I thought maybe they should have put it to rest at the end of the season, and and, you know, all the good memories that brought us. But then I was in the stadium Saturday night, and they brought it out, and it was like euphoria in the stands.
Yeah.
When Trajan Bandy, you know, got that first chain. It was a good feeling, and it, you know, everybody was down from the game last week, and, you know, we're obviously playing an opponent that wasn't getting everybody too excited. So it felt pretty good to bring that back, and I thought, you know, something positive came good out of, you know, bringing the chain back.
All right, man, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dono. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, you know what, and I can remember being, when I was at the Notre Dame game last November, which was best crowd I've ever seen at Hard Rock Stadium. Hard Rock, Sun Life, Pro Player, Joe Robbie, whatever. Best crowd I've ever seen at that stadium. The crowd was louder for the first turnover in that game than they were for the first touchdown in that game, right? So, again, that's more evidence that maybe I have to rethink my opinion last year on wanting to retire that turnover chain. It's more of a turnover purse than a backpack, a texter writes. He's right. It does look a little purse-ish, right? Like, you got makeup in there, I think.
It's definitely not a Jan Sport book bag that we were rocking to middle school.
Makeup and tampons in that turnover purse. All right, when we come back, we'll talk with Adam H. Beasley from the Miami Herald.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.